Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is True Crime Time, and once again, I am joined by the lovely Jen. Jen, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
You know, I'm okay. I'm a little bit tired. I cannot get my sleep schedule right lately, and yeah. So I'm.
We got to get you turned around.
I guess so. You know, and I don't know why it is, but it is what it is. Anyway, I'm glad to be doing this. I actually do look forward to the true crime each week because honestly, if it wasn't for you and I doing the show together, I probably wouldn't read very much true crime. I was in a bookstore not too long ago and I was looking at the true crime stuff and I was like, oh, those books are so long. Just, you know, talking about one crime. I appreciate how, you know, we do them in just, you know, an episode generally, although this one is a part two, because we were talking so long last week about the barrel murders. What are they called again? The bear?
Yeah, the Bear State Park murders.
Yes, those. And that was fascinating. And, you know, it was worth it to talk about that and, you know, not necessarily finish what we were doing. And
yeah, this is our first time having like a two-parter.
It is. It's a two-parter. And the other thing, is that, you know, I think somebody could write a book. Has anybody ever written a book about the Room 1046 and all that you know of?
There is an author that was working on one. I don't know if it was professionally published, but it is a book to him. And he is probably one of the best people, best resources at this case.
Oh, wow. And I feel like it would make...
But you know what? No one has taken the extra mile to go, you know, as we're going to get into the story, to go to the cemetery and figure out the rest of this case. And to me, it looks like it could be figured out.
Yeah, I mean...
They need to do genealogy.
Yeah, and if there was an author, you know, who was digging, like I said last time, about go look at old professional fights and things like that, and I think that you could, you know, work out a lot of it. And I'm just... I don't think that you could make a movie out of it because you don't have somebody... You don't have a killer to arrest at the end or anything like that. All right. So as is our custom, though, we begin every episode, it seems like, talking about the Delphi murders. Now, you have some very exciting news. Well, not exciting, but very interesting, good stuff, the good tea. But before we get to your good tea, I have a question.
Okay.
And that is, okay, I'm confused about... The vehicle.
Yes.
Okay. That people talk about. And I feel like they're talking about a white vehicle. And I want to know is somebody said, okay, yeah, they saw a white vehicle and there was a person there. And a lady said, you know, I asked if the guy wanted anything or needed help. And he said, no. And then somebody's saying, well, yeah, it's a white Chevy truck or something like that. And I thought you and I talked one time and somebody said there was a blue car. What is the situation with the car?
Okay. Here's the situation with the car. So in the very beginning stages, Delphi, it was Carroll County Sheriff's Office, was talking about a white vehicle in relation to the murders. And it was parked outside of the welfare building. And that building no longer stands today. But that building and the car where it was is directly aligned with the path of the Delphi trails. It faces where Abby and Libby would have been dropped off and walked, you know, towards the bridge. And it is said that this vehicle was parked there for like 6 hours, but it was retrieved. So then you fast forward to the new press conference, you know, 2019, where Carter talks about this vehicle and he uses the word abandoned and everyone gets confused. They're like, what abandoned vehicle? Well, this is either, you know, law enforcement purposely leading people down the wrong road in hopes that a good witness or a tipster will call in and correct the story, or perhaps they're just, you know, telling the story wrong. Because, you know, Carter is very upset in that press conference. But there was a vehicle, it was parked, but it was retrieved. And it said that that vehicle was, you know, discovered by, it was a witness that pointed it out. It was off of a closed circuit surveillance and they ended up IDing, drove the car. So I don't think that's important to this case at all. And also the white car keeps coming up because of Lark Cook and the Elizabeth. They were little girls who were also double homicided in Indiana. That case mirrors the Delphi murders.
Hmm.
Yeah, so they were also killed on the 13th. They were killed July 13th, though, and Abby and Livia were on February 13th. Both in, you know, state parks, trails,
Has there been a killer apprehended in the other one?
No, it is unsolved, and three witnesses have come forward and reported there was a white vehicle, either a truck or SUV, that was parked at the state park acting suspicious when Lyric and Elizabeth disappeared. That's why the vehicle's important.
And how old were Lyric and Elizabeth?
10 and 8. So you still got that little adolescent age. They look a lot like Abby and Libby.
But has there been as much attention focused on their cases on Abby and Libby?
No, not at all.
I wonder why that is.
One of the parents has a background that is kind of questionable, and that turns off media and the public.
Do people think that it is the same killer?
Some of us do. If you subscribe to that it could be a serial killer, and I'm going to tell you why, because I went down the page of fact-checking what Carter had said in the press conference that threw everyone off this year, because he goes on to talk about lots of different things, and it seems like they contradict themselves because they have a different sketch, they have different words, and so I just kind of went through it.
Okay, so when you say some of us, so that means you think it is a serial killer.
I'm starting to look at it as a serial killer, yes. And you know me, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But when I went back and looked at all the interviews, investigators said, we have possibly met the killers. These killers. And then they went on to change it to killer. We learned that there was two sketches made. You have to ask yourself, why was there two sketches? Okay, well, there was three witnesses. Perhaps one witness said, I saw a younger man. One said, I saw an older man. Was it a working pair? You have to change up how you start thinking about this case because law enforcement is changing their language. No one wants to admit there could be a serial killer. It's the worst thing ever. It requires a task force, thousands of dollars in money, if not a million. No one wants to think about this in Indiana, but they have to consider it because you have Larry Hall out of Indiana. He is in prison. He's not in prison for what he should be. So you need to Google Larry Hall. He kidnapped the girl. He did heinous things. But he's also linked, allegedly, to a lot of different crimes that may make him a serial killer. It could. He has a brother in town. His name is Gary. There is a lot of talk about, should law enforcement speak to that man? Should they?
And does this Larry Hall, does he look like the sketch?
Larry Hall, yeah, the odd thing is he does. But lots of men in Delphi look the same. But Larry Hall is incarcerated. So if people are going to go down the theory of that, they would need to look at questioning family members or, you know, people that know Larry Hall.
If Larry Hall, how long has he been in jail?
A long time. It's been like a couple. It's been like maybe 10 years. I'd have to look it up. Don't quote me on that. But it's been a hot minute.
Okay. One of the things before we get to the really good stuff is – oh, now I'm going to forget what it was. The darn question that I had. First of all, I know that they're crowdfunding a monument for Abby and Libby, which is a good thing. So you're saying that – so Gary Hall is a – oh, I know what I was going to tell you. Okay, so the first sketch, here is a theory that I saw online, and you tell me what you think of it. The grandfather of Abby and Libby, like, rushed. He was at the scene and he was rushing around looking for them and looking kind of disheveled. And perhaps somebody saw him running around and remembered that and gave that sketch to the police.
It could be. We don't know what witnesses saw because witnesses are unreliable. And that's the first thing. Look, law enforcement, they're in a terrible position in this case. The evidence that they have is weak, and it's based on a lot of witnesses, and witness testimony doesn't hold up in court because of exactly what you're saying. One witness saw something, second person saw something else. You give it some time. By the time they get them to court, those witnesses will be like, well, I don't know if I remember correctly. They're going to get tore up.
Because, you know, honestly, even if they caught somebody today, it wouldn't go to trial for almost a year. So you're talking 3 years removed from it, right?
Yes.
And the witness is not going to remember, and that's the problem, is because they're not going to remember. And so when prosecutors work with them prior to their testimony, they're going to try and shape and bend the testimony. It's so that way, oh, you remember it like this, don't you? Or this was, you know, kind of the way they want it. But what happens when you do that is that the defense lawyer on cross is going to destroy you, because you don't actually remember. You're just going with a version of events that has been gently nudged your way, regardless of whether you actually saw something, you know, in the past. Do you know if the police continue to – do they go back to witnesses?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, they consulted the witness again before they decided to release the second sketch. And she was very cooperative. I think that she's shaky, though.
Now, is this witness, is this, maybe you know, did somebody actually talk to somebody who was in the white truck?
It's questionable.
Okay.
That is unreliable. Okay. I'll put it that way. It's unreliable.
But if it was somebody who talked to the person in the white truck, would it have been that female witness?
No. No.
Okay, because, you know, there's a story that goes around, and that's the problem when you read this stuff and you don't, I don't spend enough time, so then I'm just kind of not skimming, but I don't know every single detail. So then
nobody does, because law enforcement has put out so many statements, like it's okay to get confused because they'll confuse you on purpose. And then this is where everyone gets, you know, confused and they get on Reddit and they get the stories wrong. It's because law enforcement has never corrected anyone. The things that we need to know, that honestly we need to know, they will not correct.
Yeah, because, you know, I saw, okay, a white truck, and then somebody goes, oh, it's a white Chevy truck. And somebody goes, no, they've never said that it was a white Chevy truck. They just said it was kind of a white truck. And then somebody said they saw somebody there, and then somebody else says, oh, no, the person interacted with the other person and said, do you need anything? And, you know, if somebody has an actual interaction with somebody, they're going to give a much better description probably than somebody who's just seeing somebody from afar. But like you said,
I agree, but why 2 years later? If I knew that someone, you know, had an abandoned car and they'd had a conversation with at least one person, it seems like law enforcement would have released that sooner and asked if other people came in contact with that vehicle or that person. 2 years later, nobody's going to remember.
So the 13th, so the other two that you're telling me about, when was that? When were those murders?
Those were in 2012.
Okay, so before. Okay, so...
But it's very close, though, if you think about serial killer, if you want to go down that route. You know, don't come for me and be like, oh, she's getting conspiracy. No, I'm just giving you something broader to think about, because what we're doing right now is not working. Okay, time to change up. 2012 and then 2014, that's very close together when you talk about somebody doing double homicides.
Yeah. But then, you know, we've got this time gap, right?
Yes, we have a time gap, and then these girls were killed. They were abducted from basically a place where it's like a fisherman's pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And you always hear in the Delphi case the rumors about how law enforcement are looking for someone that is a hunter or avid fisherman. It is due to something that was found at the crime scene. So when I see Lyric's case and Elizabeth, and I hear about fisherman's prize, fisherman's pleasure, and I hear Delphi, something related to fishing, these cases maybe need to be looked at as a pair closer.
Yeah, because... And, you know, the gap could be because maybe the person was in jail for something else.
Could have been.
But do we think that there's going to be another? I mean, serial killers, they generally, even if they said, okay, I'm going to do it every 2 years kind of thing, they can't help themselves and they start to accelerate the pattern.
Yes. That's the thing. Has he killed since then? That's the odd part about serial killer. That's why I did not come out with this in the very beginning, because I thought, well, where is he? How do you have this sensational appetite and then you just stop? I mean, are we just not finding the victims? Is he dead? What happened to him?
Or in jail?
Yeah, is he already incarcerated? That tells me that they don't have DNA. If he's in jail and they can't find the DNA hit in CODIS, then it makes a lot of the rumors at the crime scene very true. That what they're holding in evidence that they fast-tracked in the beginning, and the prosecutor did give an interview about fast-tracking evidence when the girls were found, it's not going to be DNA. Perhaps they found clothing.
Yeah, because what you're right. I mean, if they are in prison, then and they had DNA, then they'd have their killer.
Absolutely.
So
when you're a felon, you get your DNA put into the system.
All right. So I don't want to. I know you shared some stuff with me about. I don't want to say where you got anything from. I'm going to leave that all up to you. But tell us the news that you've heard about Delphi.
I heard the reason that the reason why law enforcement officers cannot sleep at night, why there's ongoing therapy, counseling, is because the crime was so heinous. And I said, what is it about the crime? And they said, well, you have two little girls. They're naked. They're laying out there close proximity to each other. One is dead. She could have got up if she had been alive, but she was dead. You have another one that even if she was found alive, there's no way she could have got up and walked away due to the fact she was pinned down, basically. That's all horrific. You have the girls wearing scarves at the funeral. We know that they had some type of throat damage. You know, the throats were slit. Something happened with the throat. This guy, Carter, goes on to say, and it's a quote from that conference, we know you've killed before. We know that this cannot be your first rodeo. I found quotes where the officers talked about how this person, you know, was basically graduating. He's an opportunity killer. You know, a stalker has an obsession. These are things that Delphi have used when they did press releases. Also about the girls possibly having pneumonia. When you bring up the creek, I asked, how did Libby's phone survive the creek? You know, if the phone goes through water, how is it still recording? How do you have recordings of the murders? And so the creek was shallow. It didn't come up to their waist. They just walked through a sandbar, basically, or a mud bar to the crime scene. And it wasn't that far. And so her phone, it survived. It continued to record.
So this, the cutting with the throat, that I think is where you get the hunting or the fishing thing. It was probably some kind of knife like that, right?
Very specific.
It's now the two others that you mentioned before, how were they killed?
Okay, that's the problem. We have them being abducted off of a southeast side, and we have that parallels to Abby and Libby suggestively being abducted off the southeast side of the Monhan High Bridge. These little girls, unfortunately, we have no cause of death because they were not found right away. Lyric and Elizabeth, they were not found for like 5 or 6 months. They were found 25 miles away at a state park that is only known to locals because it only has one tiny sign even advertising its existence. It's very remote, very isolated, and the locals, they don't want you there. That's why they don't advertise. So by the time they found them, they were skeletonized, you know, basically just very, very decomposed. There's no way to do cause of death or anything like that. So we'll never know if they were sexually assaulted or any of that stuff.
Now, can you tell, though, when it's a skeleton or something, whether or not there was a knife that cut some kind of bone or something like that?
Yes, they should be able to tell if there was a knife used.
Okay, and they haven't said yes or no, or they wasn't. Do we know?
They're saying that they don't know the cause of death. Now between you and I, law enforcement, they can lie, so they might know. If there was no knife used and there honestly is no wounds, then perhaps they're being completely honest and they don't know how the girls died. In comes strangulation, lots of different things that could have happened.
Because if you're killing with a knife, I mean, that's, you got to know what you're doing. And I get why the.
In both. The murders, that's where they go on to say that the guy is highly skilled. That's what stands out to me is that in the beginning, Delphi had some really strong statements. And then they backed off of them.
So it seems to me it could be some military person or who also hunts and fishes. Because, I mean, you got this knife, but they also know how to kill using it. And killing somebody with a knife, it's something that you see in the movies. It's not something that you, when you're slitting rather than, you know, stabbing somebody or whatever. It's something you see in the movies, but it's extremely difficult to do.
It is. Yeah, this person, they were skilled, because you talk about being able to disable someone also, literally disable them to where they can't move, but they're still alive. That's a problem.
So I get why they said, okay, this person's killed before. And then it takes you back, okay, then, you know, perhaps a serial killer. But it was a crime of opportunity. I wonder, though, it's just...
Or, you know, school was out that day. Were the girls discussing what they were going to do within earshot of someone? Was it an earshot of friends who had their relatives or family members or other friends nearby, you know, adults? Or were they at a fast food place when they discussed it? Where did the girls decide to come up with the plan to go to the bridge? Was it last minute, or was it discussed openly in the public? Because that brings the public in. You know, anything in earshot. Also, yeah. You have with Lyric and Elizabeth, the girls disappeared between, it was like 12:45 and 1 p.m. And then you have Abby and Libby's case dropped off 1 p.m. So you have these just mirroring type cases that they're worth looking at this point, since ISP, Carroll County, they're running into a wall.
Yeah, and one of the things that I keep coming back to when you bring up stuff like this is that one of the girls could have just walked away.
Yes, so they have said this. And look, I've seen people ask on our pages. They are saying, did he really say that? Yes, you can look it up. Carter says Liberty could have walked away several times. And you can go back and look at Carroll County Sheriff. She could have walked away several times. She's a hero. She stayed.
So, but that leads me to think that this guy didn't care about Libby at all. You know, he was fixated on, you know, the other one. And so maybe he had been following her a while.
Yeah, considering if the story proves to be true, that the person was literally on top of them within maybe, I don't know, they were there, they said roughly 90 minutes. And the person was on top of them, watching them as they went in. He followed in the same way that they came in, and they were taking pictures. And then if they turned around and he was behind them, then I'm thinking he passed them once, and that got their attention. And then perhaps he turned around and came back. And that's when she knew, okay, I know this guy. Like, this is, you know, this is not right. Maybe that was her red flag. I see people asking, you know, how does Carter know that Liberty knew him? Or he wants to tell the story of how she knew him. I think it's going to be that, just because they have the phone. They have all that video they're not showing us. I think he passed him once.
That would make, you know, more sense. And then he saw that, you know, the girl that I guess he wanted to kill or sexually assault. And
he was fixated on Abby, and the crime scene proves it. Liberty died first. Liberty's date's the 13th. Abigail's date is off the table. They will not discuss it. It's notably the 14th. They're claiming the family doesn't even know. They say, we didn't even tell the family how the girls died. That's how close to the vest it is. I've never heard of anything so close. Usually you have, within 2 years, some stuff come out. But with this, they're saying it's all so important because it's all they have that they can't afford to release anymore. He said, no more video, no more audio. I can't. It's too precious. So I don't know where they go from here unless they start rethinking possibilities about what could have happened, because you have the prosecutor saying, and I went back and I fact checked where they said we're one tip away. Carter said one tip away. Well, the prosecutor actually said, I think there's an excellent chance that within these tips, someone has named the right person. When you ask me, is it possible a police officer has talked to him? I think it's extremely likely that it happened. That is not one tip away. That is a needle in a haystack. I think Carter was coached very heavily by the FBI. They did a great job.